Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Praise the Lord. Remember I said last time in Africa, when you say praise the Lord, you say amen. Okay, we can try again. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. Okay, I'll teach you another thing we do. We say God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
I'm going to add one more statement. And this says, and I am a product of his goodness. We try that. God is good. And all the time, and I am a product of his goodness. I'm nervous. And so, I need some encouragement. And there is no better encouragement you can get other than knowing that Jesus loves you. There is healing in the love of God. And there is no other place I'd rather be than in his presence. So, without any instruments, as I get rid of this nervousness, can we just sing, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. That hymn will never grow old to me because the Bible says so. The Bible says so. So if you have your Bibles, you can open the book of Genesis chapter 3, and I'll quickly read from verse 1 to verse 11. And may the Lord bless his word as I read. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of the, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasing unto the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the fruit, from the tree I commanded you that you should not eat? I have read this story so many times, and I believe when you even before you got saved, you probably had the story about eating the fruit. And there's so many things that we can learn out of these texts. And there's a lot we can blame Adam and Eve for doing and not doing because of what we are facing today. But the more I have read this story, the more I have meditated on it to try and bring it to now and see what God is teaching us today. I have so many topics I could have called this story because I have always thought about, Adam, why did you eat the fruit? Why didn't you stop your wife when she took that fruit? I always thought he was somewhere away from the garden, away from Eve. But he was right there beside him. And he took that fruit and ate it. Okay, that's another subject altogether. But one thing I have come to learn is that God is still looking for us. And the one question, can you imagine the first question God ever asked man after he created him was, where are you? Where are you? And up to today, I believe even today, that's the question that God is asking us. And if I was to totally be honest with you, I feel like that's the question he asks me time and time again. Where are you? And the reason he asked Adam this question is because the place that they used to meet, that secret place where they would gather and have fellowship, Adam was not there. Can you imagine the privilege of having the maker of heaven and earth come down from heaven to fellowship with you? Can you imagine what it was like to have, even just to hear his sound and to know that he's coming? It is time for us to gather. It is time for us to meet. And then he comes to that secret place in that garden, and Adam is nowhere to be found. And it grieves my heart. It grieves my heart because I bring it back and I bring it forward. I fast it forward and I look at my life. And I feel like there's a way God has made me in my walk with him for those 31 years that I've been born again. Not bragging about it, but I know that even today as I speak to you, this message is so much for me as it is for you. That God is still asking, where are you? And this time when he's asking you after you have come to know you is because there is a level of intimacy that he still desires for us to grow into him. We cannot say that we have known him once and that's okay. He's still drawing us. He's still calling us. He's still begging with us. But then when we look at this verse again and this text that we have just read, something else jumps out of me. Because when he comes around and he finds he's not there, he knew something must have gone wrong. And he asks him, who told you that you're naked? Who told you? Trust me, friends, when God created man, his desire, because he is spirit, we've said this over and over again until it becomes like a cliche that you can say that God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And at times it doesn't feel like we really know the depth of it. This is what happened in that garden. Other than eating the fruit, the greatest sin that man did, other than disobedience, was to listen and to introduce a voice that was not of God. When Eve took that fruit and Adam took over, he literally almost signed the rights of his manhood to the woman because he is the one who was told, do not touch. And when he was given that command, Eve was not there. Adam was alone. So Adam was the one who was supposed to literally stand up like a man and say, the woman, you gotta listen to what I say. But other than that, now they have already sinned. Now they have already done what they were not supposed to do. And here comes the serpent, which is a voice that God had not created for man to take heed to. And because man was not supposed to listen to this voice, it means that then there are three voices that were in that garden that were introduced that were not supposed to take over, which is the voice of man, the voice of the serpent, and your own voice. God's intention was his voice was the only voice that was going to guide us. So, and for God to come down into that garden, he was spirit, and spirit communicated with spirit. And so when man sinned, what happened? The first thing the Bible says is that he understood that he was naked. Who told Adam and Eve that they were naked? How did they even know what nakedness is? Those are just some of the questions that I ask myself. Because how did they even know what nakedness is? God had not told them they were naked. But they knew they were naked. And this nakedness to me, how I understood it, and I stand to be corrected, is that they took the Spirit of God that was in them was overtaken by the flesh. And because the Spirit of God was literally put under, so that the voice of God was no longer the number one voice that they could hear, something left them and the flesh took over. And because the flesh took over, the first thing they realized is the clothing that they had on, which was nakedness. And then when God comes in and they say, we heard your voice and we hid. Because one thing sin does is that it makes you naked before God. Naked in a way that it's a shaming. Naked in a way that you want to hide. Because the first thing they do is went and they tried to find something to cover themselves. And even when they were trying to do this, who told them that they were naked? And without dwelling so much on the story of Adam and Eve, one thing I've come to understand also is that every time I'm away from the presence of God, all the filth in me becomes so evident. I start seeing things in me that I know that are not supposed to be there. But then in the presence of God, when he reveals everything in me that is not of him, he reveals it not to put me into shame, but to tell me I have a solution for everything that you're seeing in yourself. And so the answer right here is, in everything that we see, who told you you're all that? Whose voice are you obeying? Who told you that you're everything that you are? The reason I sang that song, God gave me that song, You Are Mine, when I was sleeping. It was my first song to write in my dream. And when I woke up, I'm penning it down, and I didn't even have any tune. And I just started humming in my prayer time. And when the tune came in and I was singing it, I started crying because I realized that I have to once and for all agree with myself that I belong to God, not to this other voice that keeps coming to me. And I know that the time that I struggled with depression, the one thing that I wrestled with every day was another voice that was ringing in my mind. Voices that would come and tell me, do this and do that. And I knew very well, even though I was born again, even though I was an intercessor, like I called myself to be, I knew that I didn't know and I didn't have the word of God in my heart like I'm supposed to. Because there is so many things, there are so many things that can come into your life and they will literally challenge what you know about God. And that's when we have to know that, like David said, he said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. The answer comes when you know the word of God, like more than anything else. So when you come to answering the question, who told you are naked? Who told you are ugly? Who told you are fatherless? Who told you're rejected? When all those answers can only be answered when you know your God. The thing that Adam and Eve did was that they made us lose our identity. And when we lost our identity, the one thing that I've come to understand, especially in my time of worship, is that there is a God-shaped vacuum, which is something else we like to say. But we don't know how deep this vacuum is until you come in the presence of a holy God and you realize, I am so far gone. But God does not allow you to see that so that you can hate on yourself. He doesn't allow you to go through that so that you can look at yourself and feel like, I'm so far, I cannot reach it. He does that so that he can show you that you still have time. There is still time for you to come closer. There is still time for you to change the voice that you listen every day to the voice of the Most High God. Because in that voice, there is an answer. In that voice, you will hear him telling you that you are mine. God is every day telling us, you are mine. You are mine. Nobody can have you. Not the addiction. I know not even my husband. I love you. But God is always telling me, you are mine. And when I look at this text again, and I see this part. Let's just read verse 11 again. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? That verse just cuts me right here. Because being straight out disobedient before God is just... It hurts. It hurts. I think of the times that I work with the children, because I've worked with children for over 10 years. And sometimes I would look at the kids when they're playing and I'm talking to them. And the one child that every other child knows that this one will is a little bit disobedient. The other kids look at him like, why did you do that? Because God has given me such a heart to work with kids that the first thing I learned when I started working with kids is every child has a love language. And when you learn their love language, it's easy. It's so easy to reach them. And because of that, they come to me knowing that I am for them. I'm not against them. And I believe that's how God looks at us. And he says, even though Adam and Eve did this, Jesus came and he gave us a solution. And the one thing that we have to understand is that the voice of truth, which is Jesus himself, tells us that we belong. We belong. And when we know that we belong to God, then it is time that we have to ask yourself or ask ourselves, which other voice have we been listening to? God wants us to know that we belong to him. And that is the one voice that he wants us to zero into. And because I know that when we listen to his voice, when we agree with everything that he is saying, then there is something that begins to happen to us. The Spirit of God becomes clear. The Spirit of God becomes more and more real to us. It becomes easier to know that I can actually obey this voice other than this other voice on this other side that tells me everything else that I'm not. And so the question is, how much do we know the Word of God? And in these last days, as days are growing darker and dimmer, as wars are continuing to happen everywhere, it doesn't mean that wars have not been happening. There have always been wars. We've always seen earthquakes, and everything that has been happening tells us that the world is literally groaning for an answer. And the answer comes in knowing our God more than we know any other voice. So which voice or whose voice are you following today? I know this is the part that I would actually just tell us and have an activation and ask us, if you have a pen, just write down some of the things that you've been telling yourself. Some of the things that you've believed about yourself, that you know the Word of God literally says, that's not who you are. That you know very well, this is where the Bible tells me. And I learned, especially when I was praying for my husband, I started taking a journal of myself and I started doing an inventory of my own life. And the first thing the Holy Spirit told me to do was to write down who I think I am. And when I was writing down, the first thing that I started writing, I realized there were things that I could do, but not who I am. And as I was writing them down, I wrote, I'm a cook. I'm a hairdresser. I'm beautiful. And God says, just who are you? Who do you really think you are? Who do you tell yourself to you are? And I was supposed to write about 10 things. And I tell you, I couldn't calm down with 10 things. And I cried before God because I realized I don't know me. I don't know me. And I'll be the first one to ask you, do you know you? And how good do you know yourself? Or do you just know what people tell you you are? Or do you just know who you are because of what you have seen yourself doing or what you have accomplished? Because when you know who you are in line with what God says, you begin to change what other people say about you. And it cannot have any weight in you. I suffered with a poor self-esteem for many years. And anything that anybody told me, I took it so hard. And I started coiling myself. This girl you're seeing that can sing loud sometimes and dance like crazy sometimes. I never used to be like that. Because I hated myself. And when God started showing me who I am, when I started writing down these things, and the journal that I keep taking every now and then, at least every year, and it's about to take it again because it's the end of 2015. I write it down and I look at myself and I say, thank you, Jesus. Just the other day during worship, he told me, you are tenacious. I said, cool. When God started telling you who you are, he started adding more stuff to who I know I am. It started giving me more courage to go on. And when you know who you are because of what God has told you, everything about what you see around you begins to look different. You cannot change your perspective. You cannot change the way you look at yourself if you put God aside. It has to begin with God. It has to begin with God. So in case you're suffering from rejection today, God says, you are loved. God says, you are mine. And in case you're suffering from a sign or anything that makes you feel like you're less than, God says, I am the one who made you. And you're special in my eyes. You are special in the eyes of God. And because we know who we are in God, this is the only way that we can be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because his spirit begins to take over everything that we know. So friends, I know if I can talk as much as I can, because I know this is a topic that has continued to work so much in my life. Because I got tired of blaming Adam and Eve and saying they did this and they did that. But I have to come and realize that when Jesus made a way, he made a way for me to realize and for me to understand that I can receive his love. I can receive all that he has for me because I'm not supposed to play on the defensive. I don't have to play on the defensive. I don't have actually to play cute with the devil. I have to be the warrior he has called me to be. And you can be one too. And when you can only be one when you know that God says this. I can stand on his word and say, not on my watch. I can stand and say, not on me. And not when I know my God like I do. And because God wants us to know him that much. Because God is always calling us and drawing us to where he is. All that he wants us to do is to say, yes, Lord. I'm ready to put aside the view that I have of me. I'm ready to put aside everything that they said I am. I want you to be the one who tells me who I am. So what is God telling you today? What is God telling you that you are? And the first thing that I remember when I started learning this verse, when I started walking in this truth, I looked at John 3:16 all over again. And when I looked at John 3:16, the first thing the Holy Spirit told me to do was to put my name where it's the world. And I said, for God so loved Lydia that he gave Lydia his only son. That if Lydia believes in him, she will not perish, but have eternal life. Can we try and do that? Can you just go ahead and put your name? For God so loved Lydia that he gave Lydia his only begotten son, that if Lydia believes in him, she will not perish, but have eternal life. It changes everything, doesn't it? That God has so much for you, love for you. He has so much love for you that all he desires of you is that you will change the voice that you believe in, the voice that you listen to every time, and just know that you belong to him. And so at this time, I would like us to spend more time in prayer. I would like us to come and just lay everything that you have believed about yourself that is not of God right here on the altar, and tell him to just take it over so that you can zero into the voice of God. And when you find yourself believing something that is not of God, you will be quick to say, Father, show me who I am. Show me who I am. Because when I know who I am in your view, when I know who I am, because I know that's what you say that I am, that's who you say I am, I will not allow any other voice to intimidate me. Because that's what the enemy does. All the chaos that we have in the world is because we have believed other voices than the voice of God. But God wants us to go back to that garden where we used to fellowship with him, where our spirits are so full of him that we can know his voice. No more guesswork. No more trying to figure out which other voice is this. But you know his voice so much that you know that this is how my Father speaks to me. And I love it. And I love it. God wants you to love communing with him, because that's where he's taking us. That's where he's taking us. Unless you know God for yourself, things are going to get harder. Things are about to get so crazy. And just the other day on Friday when we were having our monthly prayer meeting, he revealed to us that in these last days, as it is recorded in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where there shall be, one of the signs is that there shall be a great fall away. And people will fall away. People will be falling away. And for it to be a great fall away is because there are people who know their God, but at some point they just got tired and they fall away. That's a backsliding of believers. And what that reveals to me, what God was showing us, is that there shall be a great fall away because people are getting offended. What makes a mother of a six-month-old baby shoot innocent lives? When it hits right home, there's some things that become so much hurting. And when we look at that, we realize that the way things are going, people are going to be so much offended. But in that offense, God wants, it's only a loving Father who can give you a solution before things happen. And because God has given us the solution is found in knowing your God and what he says about this time. So before offense comes, before you're offended because people are being killed for no reason at all, God has already offered a solution. And the solution is found in Jesus. And he says, I want you to be ready. Know my voice so that when I tell you this is the way that you should go, you are not going to doubt his voice because you know him. You know him. You know him. Oh, Father, may you help us. Help us to know you for ourselves. Help us to hide your word in our hearts. Your word becomes the map. Your word becomes the map that will guide us in these dark days. Father, I pray that your word will become even the one that is going to show us and open our hearts and our minds. When we read your word, our minds become opened, our eyes become opened, and we are able to understand and to see things like never before. That we will not be like our father did. When you came down and you asked him, who told you you were naked? We will say, Father, I know you told me. I know you told me. And I thank you because I know that your word becomes a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So may your word become a light to our feet, O God. In this time, O God, may your word become a light to our feet, O God. We want to know you. And as this 2015 is coming to an end, help us to take an inventory of our lives, to ask ourselves if there is any other voice that we have been listening, if there is any other voice that we've been taking heed to other than your voice, O God. And help us that we'll begin to hear your voice in a better way, in a closer way, with more understanding, O God. Because in knowing your word, there is healing. In knowing your word, O God, we are able to grow in you, and to know you better, O God. Where we have been lazy to study your word, I pray that you will take us back to knowing your word for ourselves. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Some of us know other books more than we know your word. But yet your word is your voice. Your word is your voice. So help us to hide your word in our hearts, that we will not sin against you. And so, Father, even as we open up this altar, O God, I pray that, Father, we will be sincere with ourselves. We will be broken in our hearts before you to accept that we need to hear your voice with such clarity, that we will never go back to listening to other voices other than the voice that is yours. We love and we praise you. Pastor Bob, just come and help me there.
Russ, come on up on the keys real quick. There's some key things that she said tonight that I really want to draw attention to because God's been really highlighting. And I hope you hear me. So much is trying to cause us not to hear when somebody really delivers something that's of worth and trying to shift us and change us. You know when she said, I don't like being on defense. I like being on offense. I haven't really heard this preached a lot, but I know Jesus was always on offense. And I know that there's a way that we can live our lives that we're on offense and we're not on defense. When God says, put the full armor on, it's to extinguish the fiery darts. And I believe that we're called to move forward and to live in offense. Do you follow what I'm saying? That we're not always, you know, we're always defending what the enemy's doing. When we live in that place of that intimacy and we know who we are, we begin to move in the place of offense. Offense. And if we have offense, then you're not in offense. If you have any offense right now and you haven't given it to God, you're not in offense, you're in defense. And so I really believe what she was saying is for all of us. And I believe we haven't learned to be in offense in our lives. And I want to share this one story. I have some friends, and it doesn't happen just a few times, but we come and we go Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever, and we hear messages, and it was like, oh, that was good, when God is trying to impart his word into our life so that we can take it and begin to move forward in offense and really grasp it and become who he's called us to be. And many times we just let words just kind of fly over us and we don't grab hold of what God's saying. And I've watched families get absolutely trashed. And they were in church every Sunday, and they were believers. And next thing you know, they're just trashed and they're away from God. Why is that? Ask yourself. Because many times when they heard the word, they never took it in and they never applied it. And I believe that's what God's saying to all of us, that we need to take responsibility fully and absolutely of the overcoming people we are in Christ. That we live in offense and not defense. And we begin to move forward in who we are. And we grab hold of it, because I'll tell you, if we're just apathetical, or if we're just going through the motions, the enemy is going to trash things around you. If you're married, if your husband gets into a bad place, the wife needs to intercede like crazy and come before the Lord. Vice versa, the same thing. Instead of giving up or just almost cursing what God has given. And I believe that tonight, when she asked for us to pray, to know who we are, I really want us to just, we can stand right now. Why don't you just stand and let's just ask God to help us to live in offense and not defense. To help us to grasp the word. And how many times, you know, I'll say, Bob Deering, how many times are you going to hear, breathe in my word, breathe out my word, breathe in my word, breathe out my word, and I'm going to let the word just pass me by? How many times are we going to not just go through the motions? Yeah, we're saved, and God's even using us. But yet, to know the living word is to walk in the authority of the living God, because his word is a double-edged sword, and we need to move forward in that. So let's pray and ask God to help us not live in defense anymore. I don't think Paul lived in defense. He had authority and he took authority. But even when these guys, these disciples, when they were singing to their death. And the church was growing. It was growing. They was growing. Because God's power and his spirit was there, and they were singing to their death. Guess why they were singing? Because they were in offense. They knew him. They knew him, and he knew them. And that's what he's asking us. I know that's what he's asking me. I don't want to be part of the group that falls away at the end of the age. I want to be torchbearers, man. I want to be shining his light, reflecting him, telling people about him, loving on people. And if you have an addiction and God's been using that addiction in your life, no matter what it is, that addiction is always to suffocate you and for you to be focused on your pain than your gain that you find in Christ. And the enemy just wants to destroy you, just like he wants to destroy me. And tonight was a message that you need to embrace. Don't go through any more motions. Don't get prideful. Don't get arrogant. Get humble. Get meek and be in the word. And watch what God does. And watch how he opens doors. And watch how you can be at peace in the midst of the great swirl, the whirlwind around you. You can be at peace because you know he's got you. He's got your back. He's love to me. He's my redeemer. But most of all, he's my peace. Because when I'm in him, I'm peaceful. But when I'm away from him, doesn't work out. So Lord Jesus, you're praying for us. You're interceding for us, everyone in this room. I pray that not one of us become a statistic that falls away. I pray that everyone in this room would be filled with the anointing and the power and the fire of the Almighty God. And that everyone in this room would find the fullness of life in you, Jesus. And that every identity would be fulfilled and every passion would be fulfilled in this place. I proclaim that this is an army of the Lord in this room right now. And that we're going to live in his word. We're going to receive his word. We're going to let him define who we are and no opinions of men. We're going to allow him to speak to us. And we're going to make ourselves available to listen. And we're going to hunger for the word. And every lie And every trickery of the enemy is going to be defeated by the voice of the living God, Jesus of Nazareth. And the presence of God. And the Word of God. And so right now, just ask the Lord. Just ask Him. Right where you're at. Have your way with me. I give you everything. I surrender. I surrender my will. I surrender everything I own, because it's not mine anyway. I surrender my thoughts about my will. And now I want your thoughts about your will for my life. Right now, I pray that. We all pray that. We won't fall away. We'll stand in you. Holy Spirit, just come. Just have your way. Just listen. We're going to end together in unity the prayer that Jesus gave us all to pray. We'll pray it together out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And let it be. May the Lord bless you guys. And just hold on to what was spoken tonight and what she shared. It was awesome, Lydia.